At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
People might think that my Munster hat is too Munster. Got to get into a position where we're rewarding form as opposed to credit in the bank.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
Andy Mitten was in Bergamo last night. We'll get to him in just a moment. But first, here's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
You know, we all have roles and responsibilities. And of course, Cristiano's a leader in the group. But of course, that's what he does. He scores goals. We're not happy conceding two goals. Both of them are very, very fine margins. I think the first one should be off. The second one is a centimetre onside. Is probably maybe offside in last season. So it's fine margins. But he does provide those moments. And I'm sure Chicago Bulls didn't mind having Michael Jordan either. So, you know, sometimes teams have the players they have, and that's why they are at Man United, and that's why they are champions at in Chicago Bulls. You just come up with those moments. And for me, I know there's votes coming up, or Cristiano is just getting better and better for us. He's feeling better. You know, he's not had a proper pre-season. Now he's getting better and better, and he's feeling up to speed now.
So Cristiano Ronaldo, Michael Jordan, Andy Mitten, are Manchester United anywhere near the Chicago Bulls is my question.
I'll give you a one-word answer if you want, and it isn't yes.
Who's Scottie Pippen?
Scott McTominay.
McTominay. How is the general feeling this morning, Andy? I was watching you doing your two-minute match report last night. You were saying that the Manchester United fans who were there were in full song, fully supportive of the manager, but this is just a continuation of the uncertainty, I guess, of where this team is going last night.
Yeah, well, it's raining today, as it was the day before the game, but yesterday it was. I think the United fans enjoyed a beautiful city. But 10 minutes before the end of the game, an announcement came over that, well, you're going to be kept in for 1 hour after the match. And the team were 2-1 down, and you could just say, oh no, this is just another bad night. And then Cristiano did what Cristiano does. He equalised, as he'd done in the first half. I think it was a good result. It wasn't a good performance. It showed character. But it was a good result because it keeps United top of the group stage. I'm not looking at this United team thinking going to St Petersburg in May, because the team still looks well short of the standard of the absolute best. But after the bad start in this group, to be top of it after four group games, you've got a difficult game at Villarreal away coming up, and then you've got the home game against Young Boys. United aren't beating Young Boys at home. They don't deserve to be in the Champions League. So it was a decent result. Was I worried watching it? Yes, I was, especially in the first half. I thought Paul Pogba, who had a chance, he needed to take it. He didn't. He lost possession several times. He's not going to be figuring because he's suspended after that sending off against Liverpool. I thought Eric Bailly, who came in, played in a three and a four at the back, he was probably United's best defender. Was worrying losing Raphael Varane because he's one of the best defenders in the world. David De Gea, one of the best players this season, he had a bad night in Bergamo. He was really poor for the first goal, and the second goal, I'd like to see it again because I was only in the stadium when I saw it, but that looked like he just gave the goal scorer a big wide goal rather than closing the gap down. So on balance, I think it will be seen as a successful European away trip, in so much as fans could attend, did attend, enjoyed it in a good city. The hosts were friendly. The atmosphere was fantastic. The ground only holds 21,000, but it was bouncing. We knew it would be good, and it was good. I think Atalanta are a good team. They're not a great team. You're not going to be expecting them to be in the final. But they've become Champions League regulars. I like the way that they play football. And, you know, United knew what was coming. United's game plan. And knew that Atalanta are like Leeds, but better, if you like, in terms of the style that they play. They press, they're aggressive. And United never really got to grips with that. Even though United shaded it with possession and had spells of dominance, you felt that if it was a better team, then they would have put Manchester United out of sight.
Andy, there's a touch of Groundhog Day around the entire Manchester United conversation, but particularly around Paul Pogba. I'm just wondering, from your knowledge of the club, what the attitude towards Pogba is, considering the issues with his contract and the performances and the inconsistency and the stupidity and the lack of discipline against Liverpool with the red card. And then, as you say, a big opportunity given him last night in that midfield too. And just the real casualness of his play, that here's a world talent who's been hauled off at a time of real need for Manchester United with 25 minutes still to go in the game.
Well, he had a chance, and I knew that he was asked to make sure he did his tracking runs right, that he defended right. Clearly, the manager was looking for moments of genius from him. It wasn't really happening. I mean, I thought he was really poor. I thought he was poor trying to dribble the ball away from his own area. Wasn't surprised when he came off. And at this moment, Manchester United need discipline. They needed it at Spurs on Saturday. And they need it to stop leaking all the goals, and the midfielders play a big part in that defensive role. And Pogba failed last night. And what's his current situation? Well, he's got a contract offer from Manchester United, which is very, very good. Thought it was interesting last night when he went off the pitch. I didn't see a single person applaud him off the pitch in that United end. And he does have the contract offer. He's given no indication as to whether he will or will not sign it yet. He could leave the club for free in June. He could start talking to other clubs in January. And there are plenty of United fans who would say, well, good riddance. And there are plenty who would say he's worth persevering with. He, as you said, he's a world-class talent. He can do things that no other player can really do. Well, Ronaldo now, that's changed it a little bit. For Manchester United, I've understood that he's been open to signing a new contract for all of this year. But what does that actually mean? Pay us enough money and I'll sign a new contract. And I spoke to one leading agent about Pogba's situation, and he said there's not so many clubs who'd buy Paul Pogba for a fee, but there are a lot more clubs who'd have him for free. And I think that's a fair assessment of where we're at. I spoke to him after the Atalanta home game. He was in good form. He's polite, as he always is. He's not a big negative influence in the dressing room, and you know, he's just one of them players who, in the great United teams, the fans have said, yeah, you know, X player's brilliant, Y, but, and you run through almost the whole team, and they just don't do that about Paul Pogba. And last night, as you said, was a perfect example why he let his team down.
The part of your brain, or the part of the fan group, whatever it is, that are saying that no to good riddance to Paul Pogba, those who want Paul Pogba to stay, what is the main part of the reasoning behind that, in your view?
Because they watch him for France and see how good he is, because there has been times when he has been good. He was Manchester United's top scorer only a couple of years ago. He's clearly talented. You know, he's a world champion playing in a very good team. The best pass I've seen all season, all year, this calendar year, was Paul Pogba for France in Munich against Germany to set up their goal. And I left the ground in Munich thinking, why can't I do this more often for Manchester United? There's moments when he does do it, when United hit the top of the table at the start of this year. He was scoring some key goals. And I think he's a likeable person. You know, I know enough people who know him who don't come to me and say, this guy's is a real problem. They just don't do that. But from his perspective, he's doing what he did last time. He signed a contract. He will fulfil that contract, and he will exercise his right to sign a new contract if he wants to do that, or move if he wants to do that as well. And it's a situation which is full of really strong arguments for and against. You know, you might say he's a Manchester United player, but there's no evidence in his bios on social media that he plays for Manchester United. There's not a song for him, not a real song which fans sing about him. And, you know, if he moved somewhere else, you just won't be surprised if he was one of the best players and started winning all those individual awards, which he's not been close to winning while he's been at Manchester United. It wasn't supposed to be like this. He was supposed to be the talisman. The team was supposed to be built around him when he came back in 16, and a major reason why Manchester United would return to greatness.
Andy, sorry, do you mind if I jump in, staying on that kind of central midfield theme, just moving away from Pogba a little bit? He's never going to be that kind of central midfield defensive linchpin. We know that. We know the qualities which he has. But Manchester United, we think, we all know, worst kept secret, they've been crying out for that top class holding, defensive, whatever you want to call it, central midfield player, basically since Solskjaer's come into the football club. Has Solskjaer ever been pinned by any journalist at any time in terms of, does he believe that the players that he has in that central midfield area are good enough, or he's happy with, or has he actively looked to reinforce in that area of the pitch and has been denied by maybe the board or people above him? Because that's the area of the pitch where the whole balance, the whole dynamic is wrong. They haven't got one player in that central midfield area who they can really trust in terms of his defensive qualities, and it doesn't look as if they've been overly active in the transfer market and bringing that type of player into the football club. Van de Beek's not that type of player. Fred is not that type of player. He's been there for quite some time. We know Pogba isn't a match. His legs have gone now. He was that type of player. He isn't anymore. So whose responsibility is it? Has that responsibility been taken away from Solskjaer, or does Solskjaer genuinely believe that a pairing of McTominay and Fred in central midfield is going to be the future for Manchester United, is going to elevate them to a league title potentially?
Yes, journalists have asked him about the midfield on a very frequent basis. Yes, Manchester United have looked at bringing other midfield players in. Yes, he has been backed in the transfer market, bringing in Varane, Sancho, Ronaldo in the summer. You can absolutely argue, as I think you might do, that a priority should have been a central midfield player. United had to move players on, but you know, Matic is good. He's a good player. Matic is trusted, but he isn't Matic age 27. Fred and McTominay, Fred especially, are derided, but he trusts them as an insurance role. He knows that they're not the best midfielders in the world, that they don't compare to previous great Manchester United central midfielders. But
they need better, Andy, don't they? They need better. He's a tidy enough player, Fred, isn't he? And McTominay, it's not good enough. It's not going to take him where they want to be. It's not going to take him to a title, is it?
And those players. And they know that.
It's taken a long time, Andy, isn't it? It's taken too long. How long has he been there? Is it 2.5 years? I've forgotten. How long has he been there, Solskjaer? We've been having this Manchester United conversation, support, surely you included, have been having that conversation for a long time about the quality in that central midfield area. Who's got to come in? We've got to reinforce. We've got to get better. And it just still hasn't happened. It's like 2-3 years in.
If we would have been speaking a year ago, we would have been saying that the right-hand side of midfield was more of a priority issue. I think now, absolutely right, that central midfield. Declan Rice is a player United have watched. They just couldn't go out and get him for the type of money West Ham would want for him in the transfer window. And I'm sure Declan Rice would love to come to Manchester United. Right back was another position. They tried to get Kieran Trippier. What do you do when Atletico Madrid say, we're not selling? You know, United brought three top players in this transfer window. That squad there now with all those players should still be doing better than what they are doing. The results in the last 5 or 6 weeks have not been anywhere near good enough. And the midfield has rightly come in under scrutiny, not just because Liverpool completely outclassed. I mean, I watched Jordan Henderson for Liverpool. He was absolutely fantastic. But Villarreal and Atalanta just swarming through. This isn't PSG, because that also happened last year. This is Villarreal and Atalanta at Old Trafford. And there were times last night where I felt, you know, Scott McTominay is really struggling here. Then again, for me, he was the best player on the pitch at Tottenham on Saturday. Definitely got something. Maybe that's more of a peripheral player. But if we're comparing these players to the likes of Roy Keane, who've played before, they're not coming close. They're not in the same league. And Manchester United should be in the league where they're not only competing for the Premier League or the Champions League, but winning it. And to do that, you need the best midfielders in the world. Your point's right. They are not at Manchester United at the moment. They've tried it with Pogba. They tried it with Pogba last night. What happened? He cost the team. He gave the ball away 3-4 times, I counted, in the first half alone. So, you know, we might have been talking about it for a long time, but Paul Pogba was supposed to be an option there, and that just hasn't worked out. And that can happen in football. Donny van de Beek, really interesting. Who signed Donny van de Beek? I don't think that Ole Gunnar at any point went out and said, this is the man I want. He's been offered him. The club have been offered him for a good price at the right time. And on paper, and I saw Van de Beek for Ajax, he was really, really good. He's not playing. He came on for 5 or 6 minutes last night and was really, really good. But that was his first time that he'd been on the pitch in 7 or 8 matches. So it still is, as you're right to point out, it still is an area of contention for Manchester United. If you gave Ole Gunnar Solskjaer a fortune now and said, go out and bring any player in, I'm sure that would be the position that he would want to change.
I just want to put one comment to you, Andy, because I know you're under time pressure, but Mick has been in touch. He says, as a Manchester United fan, I think it's time you discussed the captaincy with Andy. It's the history of great captains of the club. You have to wonder how Harry Maguire fits the bill. Is that a reasonable criticism, do you think, Andy, in terms of his captaincy and even his position in the starting team at the moment?
I think it's an absolutely reasonable question. I'm sick of mentioning Roy Keane in this interview, but if you compare Harry with one of his recent critics, Roy Keane, I have my doubts. Maguire is the captain of Manchester United. He's been poor this year. I do rate him as a player. I think he was missed last year towards the end. When he got injured at Aston Villa, was missed in Gdansk. And I see some evidence of captain material. You know, he went to Gdansk, he took his whole family with him. They went to hopefully see him win the Europa League. That didn't happen. But I have my doubts. I totally have my doubts. And I had my doubts last year when United were beaten 6-1 at Old Trafford by Spurs and Harry Maguire didn't go out and face the media. He has fronted up since then. He's not as energetic as like a Keane would have been. He's not as direct. But then again, if you are, every single word that you say is totally twisted. So what you see from him and also from the manager is like a calmness. And I'm not sure that's what fans always want to see. Sometimes they want to see, you know, that naked emotion coming out there. And people saying that this is an absolute disgrace or whatever. It's football. You want to get wrapped up into it. And we don't often see that from Maguire. So I'm not going to say Maguire's the best ever captain for Manchester United because he's not. If he's going to become a legendary captain, he's got to do more than what he's doing. And maybe that's more of a presence on the pitch. But at the moment with him, when I was watching that game last night in Bergamo, my priority wasn't thinking of him as a captain. It was thinking of him staying on his feet because he was being pulled around. He was really, really struggling. There was far more energy in the players he was up against. Muriel, for example. There were times between the 80th and 90th minute where I thought, Maguire is becoming a liability on the pitch here. Now, I think he's having a bad time. I don't think he's a bad player. I think he will get over this difficult spell. Everyone has difficult spells, but his form is a bigger concern for me at the moment than his captaincy.
Andy, I'm interested that you use the word calmness there around Maguire and Solskjaer. And like, it's the one thing you would have to give Solskjaer a lot of credit, that the madness and the extreme reaction to everything that happens at Manchester United, he's always remained incredibly calm. He hasn't really fed into that in any way. That's certainly the impression that you're getting through the TV screen. He's under enormous, enormous pressure and one of the biggest jobs in world football. Have you seen it affect him in any way? Have you seen his personality change in any way as the pressure's really been ramped up and, like, to the extent in the last couple of weeks people were fully expecting him to lose his job?
I think he handles it really well. Really, really well. I think he doesn't read social media. If he did, if he saw the abuse that he receives, well, we're into Steve Bruce territory there. And I don't think any manager should get some of the abuse. I saw an image last week from Syria, but one of them sort of images of Solskjaer had an orange coat on with somebody behind him as if he was going to behead him. I just thought, nobody deserves this. Why am I even seeing this? And he gets a lot of abuse. However, last night in Bergamo and at Tottenham on Saturday, United fans sang his name. Not non-stop, but almost non-stop. They were singing it before United went ahead at Tottenham. They were singing it last night, 4 or 5 songs about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And yet, if you actually went into that away and then spoke to people individually, they'd all have doubts about Solskjaer. And yet they still support him. And he really appreciates that. I asked him about this last night. I said to him, has anyone actually come up to you and given you, you know, said you're not the man for this job? that hasn't happened to him. So it's to his credit that he deals with this intense pressure. And what people don't see, and I see this as a journalist, is after that game last night, people see the interview in their country. So I'm not sure who the rights holder is in the Republic of Ireland. But Solskjaer spends an hour doing 20 different interviews with different people, all of them trying to catch him out, all of them trying to come at him. And I think he does it well. And he doesn't give them the best lines. He gives people good lines. I quite enjoyed speaking to him after Atalanta at home. And he mentioned the fans in the Stretford End. So I tried to pinpoint him. What, the Red Army? Yeah, the Red Army with big old Pete over there. And I loved it because he relaxed a little bit. And maybe that's because he knows me. Wasn't particularly fair on big old Pete, because Pete Boyle isn't big anymore. He's lost a lot of weight. He goes running every day. To call him old, well, Ollie, I mean, he's a similar age to you. You know, you're going to call Ollie the old Norwegian. But I like that. I like that about him, that, you know, he does know the club, and that's not going to keep him his job if results aren't good enough. But he's under so much pressure, and sometimes he does keep coming out with the same lines. And sometimes people say, just give it a rest, Ollie, I'm sick of hearing this. But he can't give it a rest because he's contractually obliged to speak to the media. What can he do? At times he's between a rock and a hard place. I think in terms of dealing with the pressure, he's handling it well.
Your brand deserves better than one-size-fits-all branded clothing. Lands End Outfitters creates apparel your team will want to wear. Backed by above and beyond expertise, go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product.